Hello and welcome back to Zach's Tech Talk Tuesday. As always, my name is Ryan McQueenie, and on today's show, we're going to be talking about the intersection of technology in one of Wall Street's trendiest new investing segments, the marijuana business. So I'm actually kind of surprised it's taking me this long to cover the marijuana stocks, but been waiting for the right kind of tech twist on it. So we'll just kind of touch on the basics here. Nationwide legalization in Canada and continued regulatory refocusing in the U.S. and abroad has thrust the marijuana industry into the investing spotlight over the past few months. And then with Canadian companies like Canopy Growth, Tilray, and Cronos Group actually listing on U.S. exchanges, traditional retailers now have a real, reliable way to buy and sell stocks with exposure to the business of producing medical and maybe soon recreational cannabis. Shares of these companies have soared as retail and institutional investors pile into the trend. And now this is a very real and here right now thing. I think the listing of these companies on U.S. exchanges is so important too, because you used to be able to get these in the over-the-counter exchanges that, you know, cross-listed the Toronto market stocks, that type of stuff. But in terms of institutional investors, they're not going to be trading over-the-counter stuff. Fund managers aren't going to be out buying stuff like that for their clients. So having them out on U.S. exchanges really legitimizes it as an investing option, if nothing else. And this is also a polarizing type of investment opportunity because skeptics are obviously already calling this the new cryptocurrency craze. But those who are bullish on pot stocks say this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to invest in a business right before it sees unprecedented international expansion. These companies are already market leaders in Canada, where things are about to become recreational. And the idea is, hey, it doesn't take much to take that expertise and move into a new market as soon as it becomes legal there. You know, and the obvious one is the United States of America being a huge potential market for these companies. Why are we talking about it on the Tech Talk Tuesday show? At the end of the day, to me, this is still an agricultural industry in many ways. These marijuana producers are, you know, arguably farm operators. They have indoor grows and outdoor grows. They have seasonal things to think about. They have good crops and they have bad crops, good harvests, bad harvests. They're also retailers in many ways, not necessarily these marijuana producers that we've talked about, but many of the soon-to-be players in this business are going to be retail plays. A lot of what's going on are the development of these brick-and-mortar areas, brick-and-mortar dispensaries, both medical and recreational, places you can go and get the cannabis or the finished cannabis materials or products, be them edibles or tinctures or what have you. So where is the technology coming into play? We'll start with how I was inspired to do this story today, which was an analyst note published on Monday. And this note was actually bullish on Shopify as a marijuana play. Penned by KeyBank Capital Analysts, the note suggested the e-commerce platform provider has already been selected by several Canadian provinces and marijuana companies, including Canopy Growth, to run their digital stores, signing these deals with the provincial governments trying to build out digital stores, e-commerce platforms, as well as the marijuana producers themselves. Cannabis, according to these analysts, is an opportunity no one is talking about in regards to Shopify. KeyBank estimates that with a population of about 36 million people in Canada, I'm getting my cannabis and Canada mixed up there, population of about 36 million people, estimated annual sales could be around $10 billion. I think to get that number, they just looked at first couple of years of sales in Colorado, compared population sizes and did a little math. So it might be more, might be less, but that's their loose estimate. That's a $10 billion market that Shopify can come in and disrupt a bit with its e-commerce options. So that's obviously, you know, that's going to be the whole business. Obviously, you're only going to get a sliver of that into the digital side, but it's there, right? So it's going to immediately lift GMV and revenue for Shopify. But it also, according to these analysts, positions the company well to benefit from further growth as the business moves into other countries. And, you know, same type of logic as the producers themselves moving into other countries. As new markets open up, people are going to look to the people who, the firms, the platforms that have already been doing this. And, you know, if they can be established in Canada, Shopify should be right there as those new markets open up as well. So this makes sense to me, obviously, e-commerce as an idea. And that got me thinking about other ways in which technology might be making its way into the marijuana industry. You know, is there a growing kind of digital cannabis industry right now? Like I said, the e-commerce thing seemed like the most obvious option to me. And I started thinking about other ways that that might manifest itself. And remember, Shopify allows small businesses to build their own platforms. So I thought, what about a marketplace platform? Or, you know, not to be cliche, but what about an Amazon of marijuana, if you will, some place where multiple different sellers are on one platform? And as it turns out, you know, a bit of research, there actually are a few names battling for that crown right now, the Amazon of weed in Canada, if you will, or in the U.S. even too, with in certain medical states. And one of the biggest companies here is a company called Eaze, E-A-Z-E. It's a website that connects cannabis product brands, dispensaries, and doctors to customers online via the web and via their mobile application. User data is a little bit shaky for Eaze, but the company has said it has amassed nearly 400,000 customers in California alone since launching in 2014. It's a big rival, and similar type of customers order online, get things delivered to them, get linked up with doctors and whatnot. The same type of idea. Its main competitor is called Green Rush. Also functions by kind of collecting a fee on delivery services that are made via the website. But going beyond kind of the business to consumer applications of it, one of the things I found most fascinating was, or one of the companies I found most fascinating was a company called LeafLink, which has taken the business-to-business route and works to provide online connections for marijuana growers and retailers. So it's kind of bringing growers and retailers together online. I want to give credit to a report that I saw on a website called Digital Commerce 360, which said that LeafLink, they had a really interesting interview with LeafLink's founder, Ryan Smith, who said that LeafLink is on track to facilitate $500 million worth of B2B marijuana transactions in 2018. Smith is 26 years old, or was 26 years old at the time of this interview. He's the founder, one of the co-founders of LeafLink, and he was saying that to him, the platform provides a simple fix to a problem which has plagued marijuana retail since the early aughts. Quick quote to kind of explain that I pulled out was, quote, as a purchasing manager at a dispensary, you might have 25 to 50 brands on your shelves, and you used to have to get emails, PDFs, text messages, and phone calls from brands about what was available and when. It was old school, Smith said. So again, that kind of gets back to what I was saying before. You know, you've got the retail side of here and things here, and then you have the agricultural consumers, you know, consumer product side of things here. So these retailers are juggling, as Smith says, 25 to 50 different brands, all of which are going to have fluctuating pricing and availability, and it's going to be changed on a day-to-day, week-to-week basis. And, you know, according to LeafLink's founders, the way that the process played out was just kind of a mess of a bunch of different stuff. So what this platform does is bring all of these documents online and brings this messaging online and puts it into one simple to use platform. And then that also allows the retailers to have new tools like CRM tools that you might find in a Salesforce. So then all of a sudden it's kind of a sales and customer relations platform, like a Salesforce of marijuana retail, which kind of brings me to, you know, that's one specific example, but it kind of brings me to the way that I want to finish out these thoughts, are that the people interested in investing in marijuana right now, there's a lot of things that you need to understand before you jump in. And obviously, those are a lot of that is going to be regulatory risks, to be understanding the business. And to me, the key with understanding the business is learning and applying the lessons that we've gotten in other industries throughout the years to this. This isn't some mystery of 2018. It's not a total wonder how this industry operates and gets a product from seed to consumer. I mean, it's hardly the first industry trying to do that. People have been growing and selling marijuana for many, many years now in black markets. So certainly there are a lot of people here who know what they're talking about and who know what they're doing. So you had to apply the same things that we know and have learned throughout the years. And one of those things is this kind of ability to use technology to solve simple problems. Having a B2B platform that consolidates communication between suppliers and retailers isn't necessarily a groundbreaking thing. It's something that we've seen in many different retail capacities, obviously, in many different sales capacities. And the fact that one has cropped up, no pun intended, in the marijuana industry shouldn't necessarily be a surprise. In fact, as an investor interested in this business, you should be looking for little things like this, little efficiencies like a LeafLink or like an Ease or like a Shopify, and going, okay, that makes sense. I know what problem that's solving. I know why it's solving that problem, and I know why the solution to that problem helps people become more efficient or more profitable or what have you. You know, it's we're not reinventing the wheel here, but since it is this new product that is able to be sold because of the shifting regulatory environment, you know, it's a new kind of end goal, but it's a lot of the same mechanics that you'd look for in any industry, especially any retail type of industry, or any industry with like a tangible product sold to consumers at the end of it, a lot of the same things happening on a step-by-step basis. And that's where the tech comes in. And that's why the cool technology has an opportunity to disrupt things here, because, you know, each step of that process, regardless of what kind of business you're in, if you've got multiple steps and multiple hands exchanging goods and ideas, you look for how technology can make those steps more efficient. So those are a couple examples of how things are being made more efficient. And the marijuana industry, that's kind of some of the real world applications of digital technology in cannabis right now. Definitely look for more of it as time goes on. We're definitely going to see some people come in and disrupt with new ideas and new technologies, much like we've seen in many, many different industries. So we should expect that trend to continue into the cannabis side of things as well. That does it for me today, though. Definitely interesting conversation. And if you're interested in marijuana stocks and marijuana and the intersection of marijuana and tech and want to hear more, definitely feel free to reach out. Or if you feel that I missed something, or if you want me to cover a completely different story, reach out. Email me at podcast@zacks.com. Make sure to check out all of our other audio content at zacks.com/podcasts. And remember to subscribe and leave us a rating on Apple Podcasts. We are also now available on Spotify, always available on SoundCloud, Stitcher, many other podcast platforms, should be wherever you prefer to get your podcasts. So check us out there. As always, thank you so much for listening to the Zacks Tech Talk Tuesday show. We will see you next time.